5 years ago, Oregon Housing and Community Services launched a five-year plan to improve equity, racial justice, and affordability in housing across the state. A final report on the impact of that plan has been released. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. You can send us your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Joining me in the studio to help us learn more about the five-year housing plan and its impact is Andrea Bell, Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services. Welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be here with you.
And we also have Melanie Dosher, the Support Services Director at Jackson County Access. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Andrea, before we get into the plan and the recent impact report, we're going to start with learning more about you and your organization.
Yeah, well, Oregon Housing and Community Services, I'm sure for many people here, that very long name and wonder what it is and what we do. I think in the most simplest form, our responsibility to the people of Oregon is to advance housing progress that makes life a little bit better for people. I think most of us know that lack of housing, housing instability is a reason that keeps a lot of people up at night, and it's a stressor that a lot of people wake up with every morning. Doesn't have to be that way. And so part of our state's responsibility and mandate is to really maintain in our highest values and to also make concrete progress with all of our housing partners across the state.
Well, I like those terms, concrete progress.
That's right.
How did you get into this work?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a very working class family, and depending on that month, that would be a very gracious way to describe the reality of our resources. I am a daughter of a social worker, a granddaughter of an agricultural worker. As far back as I can remember, there were conversations about housing and home ownership, and for us, it felt completely out of reach. I mean, we didn't own a home until much later when I was in high school. I think it wasn't until about high school that I even understood what public service was. I went to shadow some local leaders. It was one of the clear and defining moments in my life where I understood that lack of resources was not a predictor of trajectory, and things get better when you know how to make them better. And so that has been the pursuit. That's what I've been up to here in Oregon.
Where'd you grow up?
So I was born in the Dominican Republic. I spent a good part of my junior high school in California, so a bustling city in California. And then my grandfather was an agricultural worker in a rural town in the Coachella Valley. For anybody who's been to California, probably not spending their time in the Coachella Valley, although I think there's festivals and such these days that's garnering more attention. But I think while those two cities are vastly different, some of the most prevalent issues that people face, which was securing the fundamentals. And in many ways, I would argue that housing and securing fundamentals are connected to the meaning of life. I mean, the idea that if you can secure the fundamentals, you can get back to the bigger things that are part of life. And I think that is what we are part of what we are making possible.
So you came to this work with a heart for systemic change.
A heart and a commitment for it. I mean, there is a level of relentlessness that is required, both in terms of understanding what makes good policy, but also moving government beyond some of the limitations that we think exist.
Okay. So, Melanie, let's turn to you. Tell me more about Jackson County Access, the organization you're with, and what's your role there?
Thank you. Access is Jackson County's community action agency, and community action agencies are part of the War on Poverty with a mission to support low-income families to get connected to the resources that they need to gain and maintain stabilization. Community action agencies look very different across Oregon, but we all have a fundamental connection to supporting people who are experiencing instability in a wide variety of reasons to get connected to the supports that they need to gain stabilization supports. My role at Access is I am the Director of Support Services. We administer many of the state and federal programs that support housing stabilization through shelter programs, rapid rehousing, and homelessness prevention, eviction prevention, those types of services.
Okay, so you're working with people at the lowest end of the economic ladder.
We do, and we develop and provide support services that also come along with financial supports, but it's really in developing programs that support people to regain access to the power that exists within them.
Okay, so let's hear a little bit more about you. How did you come to this work?
Funny story is I am a human resources professional by education and trade, and came to this work from that lens and found myself in a role where I got to administer some of these state programs and realize there's a lot of transferables from creating policy and program that is flexible to meet the people where they're at, and I fell in love with it.
Okay, so from human resources professional, you came to this work, but where'd you grow up? How'd you get into human resources?
Well, I grew up in Southern Oregon. I went to school here in Ashland, and I fell in love again with the leadership and development and how you can create systems that best support people to realize their full potential. I was in the Portland area. I'm an Oregon native. I've never left. Spent about 20 years in the Portland area through lots of different progressional stages with different organizations that got me to where I'm at today.
Okay. So, Andrea, let's go back in time. Mm-hmm. What led Oregon Housing and Community Services to launch this ambitious plan back in 2019?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to remember how we got here. So, early 2019, we engaged in a number of community conversations across the state. Large groups, small groups, one-on-one conversations, elected officials, neighbors, people that just cared about housing. And one of the main themes that we heard from people when we asked them questions around where do you want to see progress the most and where do you see the state's responsibility in that? There were a lot of themes that came out of it. The two main themes were we need more housing. We need more permanent supportive housing, which is housing and supportive services to help people be successful. We need more of it, and we need it now. And so that ended up shaping what is the statewide housing plan. And I think what's really important about it is there is a technical piece of it in terms of making some very clear and time-bound goals, which we said by the end of the 5 years, we want to create more than 25,000 units of affordable housing. We want to increase, boost affordable housing supply in rural Oregon, create over 1,000 new homes in rural Oregon, create more home ownership. I think what's important to know about that is the state of Oregon had never done that before. We'd never done that before. The idea that we would set clear and time-bound goals, we've never done that before. And so to me, it's less about all of the details of the plan, but more about the fact that it charted a future for us. And so we're now at this moment in time where we're not by any stretch of the imagination suggesting that our work is done. In fact, it's just getting started. But it has begun to change the conversation of what we think is possible.
I love that. My guests today are Andrea Bell, Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services, and Melanie Dosher, the Support Services Director at Jackson County Access. We're talking about the impact of a 5-year statewide housing plan in Oregon. So, Melanie, how was the housing plan received here in Jackson County, particularly given the challenges of COVID that were ravaging our county and our state in 2019-2020?
Well, as the Community Action Agency of Jackson County, we have a direct relationship with OHCS and have a very well-defined and built support and direct line of communication. So as challenges with the different ways that the rental assistance programs and home ownership programs, rapid rehousing programs were rolling out, being able to communicate directly with the state agency that was driving these initiatives about what was working and what wasn't working, and their dedication to remain flexible and to listen to the boots on the ground has been a positive contributor to the successes that we've had.
Okay, so what were some of the complaints you heard here in Jackson County? Were they similar complaints to what Andrea articulated?
Absolutely. I think that some of the concerns are is that we can't have a one-size-fits-all solution, that the different experiences that people have throughout their lives contribute to where they're at today. So we need to be able to be flexible to provide the support services that people need to gain stabilization in their homes. I think, too, the idea that realizing that home ownership and housing altogether is feasible for people, it takes time to build that trust and relationship.
Well, it's interesting because when you talk about the feasibility of home ownership, the people at the lowest level of our economic ladder, the most vulnerable populations, have never been centered and prioritized in the path to home ownership and a share of the American dream of prosperity. So before we get into the results of the report card, Andrea, tell me, what was in the plan? What were these six big buckets that I read about?
Yep, that's right. So as part of the statewide housing plan, we laid out a handful of very specific and time-bound goals. The first one was to create at least 25,000 units of affordable housing across the state, okay, to increase, boost supply of affordable housing in rural communities. We had a percentage there, but the goal was to get at least 2,000 units of rural home ownership in the pipeline. It also included a very clear and specific goal to increase the pipeline of home ownership across the state with the very specific goal on boosting first-time home ownership, which is where we saw a lag, and I think underscoring that home ownership goal, which is also ensuring that we weren't repeating some of the past harms, which is making sure that marginalized communities, Black and Brown communities, and rural communities were part of that progress.
I saw the equity and racial justice component of the plan.
Yes, that's right. And a big piece of that, I think, is there's a lot of details in there, but the main thing that I would want people to know is it's about ensuring that when we say progress, it's not progress at an abstract level that's only defined by the state. It needs to be in a way that people can actually see where dirt is flying and homes are getting built in community, but also where you can see circumstances changing for the neighbors and the people that you care about in your community. So just as much as it is great to have the progress, we also want to get understand where things are changing and where things are working locally as part of our shared future together.
Okay. And so you didn't do this alone. I'm sure you worked with other organizations.
Yes.
Talk about some of the other organizations that you worked with.
Yeah, I would go as far as saying is all of the progress that we have made. So, for example, we end up boosting affordable housing supply by over 28,000 units. The state has certainly a role, a responsibility, and part of it is bringing more funding to bear. All of the progress has been possible because of people in community, people like the folks that are working in Access, local governments, community-based organizations, the people that are boots on the ground talking to people. And these are the folks that are putting the deals and projects together. They're doing it with the context of each of the community that is in mind. And I would also say that, you know, I don't think this is edgy to say. I think it's important to say, which is, one of the most important parts of this is actually more abstract and adaptive, which is the state doesn't have all the answers. Our job shouldn't be to have all the answers. So there is a power sharing element that is not written on paper, but I would say is like humidity, where you can't see it and you can feel it. And people should expect that from us.
Okay. So Melanie, Andrea was talking about the local piece to this. We've got about 60 seconds before we have to take a break, but how was the plan implemented here in Jackson County?
Well, the plan has been implemented by pulling together a lot of those community partners. Andrea just mentioned that are the boots on the ground to say, what is your level of subject matter expertise and what can you bring to the table so we can help OHCS and our community pull these goals off.
Okay, can you name some of the organizations that were working with Access?
Absolutely. We work very closely with Options for helping residents of Ashland, Aura. We work very closely with Rogue Retreat, Maslow Project, Community Works, Jackson County Housing Authority, Oregon Department of Human Services. We have a whole lot of community partners that we work with in this space.
Okay, well, we run out of time for this segment, but we're going to take a short break and come back with my guests, Andrea Bell from Oregon Oregon Housing and Community Services, and Melanie Dosher from Jackson County Access. We'll learn more about the impact of a five-year statewide housing plan after the break. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guests are Andrea Bell, Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services, and Melanie Dosher, the Support Services Director at Jackson County Access. We're talking about the impact of a five-year statewide housing plan in Oregon. You're welcome to join the conversation. Send your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, Andrea, we need the big reveal. Tell us about the final report on the impact of the five-year housing plan.
Yep. So in terms of boosting affordable housing supply, the goal was to increase statewide housing supply by 25,000 units. One of the things to keep in mind, too, is that this was amid COVID when supply chains were broken down, all of the things, all of the constraints that existed there.
Yeah, the worst possible time.
The worst possible time ever. And of note, this is where I think Oregon shines in really specific ways. A lot of states stopped or significantly slowed down building. We built almost 29,000 units of affordable housing across the state, about 130 or so of those projects in Jackson County, Orchard Meadows, Valley Pines, really specific areas of progress across the state. And then in terms of rural housing supply, we wanted to at least build 2,000 units of rural affordable housing. We have exceeded that. That means that rural Oregon is being invested in, dirt is flying, homes are getting built. We also saw that our goals around home ownership didn't quite get to the mark with where we wanted them to be, but nonetheless, I think across the state, more than a couple thousand new affordable homes built with a really specific focus on first-time home buyers and families and folks of color. I think what I would just wrap that up to say is we know how to build. We know how to make progress in this regard. And part of what this summons us to and to galvanize around is this can't be the watermark of our progress. People are depending on all of us, not just the state, all of us to continue making progress. I also think that, and I mentioned it earlier, we want to be able to see the conversation change around not only what the challenges are. I don't think we want to point to challenges all day. I think we want to figure out how to problem solve and get it done and understand where the state can be a partner, a resource, for folks in community around what they need and how we can continue getting there together.
Okay. So, Melanie, the statewide report shows promising progress. How does that progress look in Jackson County?
I think that the progress is bright in Jackson County. I think that there were some very specific goals set forth by the governor's executive order around getting connected people who are experiencing unsheltered homelessness connected to additional shelter beds, connected to rapid rehousing case management, connected to keeping people in their current housing if they are falling behind on rent and facing eviction. And Jackson County not only met but significantly exceeded the goals that were set forth by the governor and OHCS. We achieved 217 households that were rapidly rehoused and connected to case management when our goal set forth was 133. So we nearly doubled the goal. We added an additional 123 shelter beds when the goal was 67, and we evicted 435 evictions when our goal was 385. Again, it speaks to the relationship with our community partners and working through those challenges, continuing to get the work done. It speaks to OHCS being willing to listen to us on the ground, what's working and what's not, and remaining flexible.
Okay, so that's all promising progress, particularly for those who are at the bottom of the economic ladder. But the narrative around home ownership versus just Maslow's hierarchy of needs and meeting people who are homeless and trying to get them housed temporarily, that's not the goal. The goal is to have permanent housing for people who can afford it. I have an email from Sarah Moore. Sarah Moore is 74 years old, and she says, if the program is so successful, then why isn't there any affordable housing in Oregon? And she basically gives a little bit of background on her experience as a renter. and how difficult it is to find affordable places to rent, much less affordable housing to own.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think Sarah's experience is one that is shared across the state. And I think the reality is there are people that are economically struggling. And I think as somebody that has been there, it's really, it can be really challenging to hear, even when it is happening, progress that is happening, if your life doesn't feel like it's any better off in that state, especially if it's persisted for quite some time. I think one example is that is oftentimes we, when we talk about the economy, it's oftentimes economy and jobs in the economy. That's great. That's important. People need jobs and they need good paying jobs. But one of the things that's not accounted for there in that regard is housing and whether it is affordable and who is it affordable to.
Exactly.
Right? We know a lot of people. I know a lot of people working two and three jobs and are barely squeezing by every single month. That is a reality. And so what I would say to that is there's a couple things that are happening that are going to be really, really important. Is part of why things have remained so stubbornly high in terms of rent is around supply. When there is not enough of something, and in this case housing, rents remain high. We need more diversity in the supply of housing. We also need housing in different shapes and sizes in different communities. Some need multifamily and really large. Some need a few condos. Some need cottage clusters. And so I think a big piece of it is around supply, being able to get more supply to the market to help those rents come down. I think the other piece, and the governor has been really clear and rightfully aggressive about this, is also charting a pathway in which as we are building, because it does take time to build and build well, is to also make sure that we are investing in strategies such as rent assistance and other stabilization to help people get by and have a little bit of relief in the meantime. And so for one of the questions I often get is, why do we need rental assistance if we're focusing on supply? There's a lot of very nerdy factors I could say to that. But I think the most important is as we are building, we don't want people to lose their place to live in the meantime, and that is what we are working towards.
Okay. My guests today are Andrea Bell, Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services, and Melanie Dosher, the Support Services Director at Jackson County Access. We're talking about the impact of a five-year statewide housing plan in Oregon. So, Melanie, Jackson County continues to struggle with the challenge of providing affordable housing. It also struggles with homelessness. And if you could wave a magic wand and resolve these issues, what would that look like?
The magic wand that I would wave would be to acknowledge the need for all different types of housing interventions, from emergency shelter to home ownership, and including transitional housing, and recognizing that as the different experiences that people have throughout their lives impact the types of supports they need to go back to recognize their power, and that they do have the ability, everyone has the ability to become the home ownership if that's the journey that they choose.
Okay. So, Andrea, I'm going to pass this magic wand over to you.
Oh, boy.
Describe the conditions you'd like to see if you could wave this magic wand.
Yeah, I don't have one, meaning a magic wand. But here's what I would say. I think that something that keeps me up a lot at night that I think about is, first, I would say is the orientation to what our immediate reaction is when we hear the word homeless. So we'll get to some of the strategies that I think are going to be important, but I think it's important to really understand that the experience of homelessness is not one that someone sets out to experience. It is a vast experience that happens in different ways, but one of the correlating reasons why people often end up experiencing the most extreme sense of poverty, which is homelessness in all of its forms, is things are too expensive. People struggling to get by, and if you don't have resources or support to lean on, what do you do when you get an eviction notice and the paycheck just isn't here? What do you do if you've got a medical situation and you've got to pay a medical bill or you don't get the care and now you're making a insufferable decision between your rent and your health? this is one of the greatest states in one of the greatest nations. We shouldn't have to ask those questions, yet people do every day here in Jackson County, here across the state. And so what are we going to do about it? So I think the first one is, one, would love to be able to see us continue to chew bubblegum and walk at the same time. This and or is not it. We need all of it. We need more supply. We need to focus on more home ownership so that renters that are to be homeowners that want to be have the pathway to become a homeowner. We also need to make sure that we have the right supports, rent assistance being one of them, to help keep people in their house, to keep it affordable, and make sure we have the necessary supports to support people in their individualized and vast needs to be successful collectively. We are tied to each other.
Okay. Well, I have, based on that pathway point, I have a question.
Okay.
It's going to take a little bit of a lead in, but stay with me.
Sure.
One of the biggest challenges in home ownership for people of color in Oregon is overcoming the racialized historical barriers, such as previous racial covenants and public policies and private sector practices, which targeted and discriminated against people of color for generations. Mm-hmm. In 2020, the National Association of Realtors issued a public apology for its conspiratorial role with the federal government, along with state and local governments, in sustaining systemic racist policies and practices. But what has happened since then? Here in Oregon, with the Oregon Association of Realtors, and how is that organization and others in the home buying ecosystem assisting you to meet the goals of your plan?
Yeah. So I would say there's a few things to acknowledge here. I think the first one is part of, and I'll maybe also ask you to roll with me here for a moment. I'll truncate this, but one of the most important parts of, in my view, running a housing agency in this moment are, it requires you to reckon with some simple but yet sometimes uncomfortable truths. And part of it is understanding how we got here. Understanding not only why we don't have enough housing and why some of the conditions and circumstances are beyond what we want them to be, but also understanding why we haven't made progress in the same ways that we have when you look at numbers in totality. So, for example, even though we've created more home ownership, which is a wonderful thing, more people, more opportunity, what I'm interested in is narrowing that down by race and understanding by race and by geography, are we seeing progress? And I would say that's an area that has been and continues to be stubborn. That is not an opinion. That is a fact.
Right.
And part of our job as a government agency is to move the state forward, is to move progress forward together. The governor has a very clear vision about not only just housing, but moving progress together that everybody can participate in. The other piece that I would say here is really important is we make progress through resources. Yes, we need more of it, but also policy. Policy matters. It is the rules of the road.
That's a bumper sticker. Policy matters.
It is. It is. It actually matters. And I think for anybody listening, even if you're not in policy, what is it? It's people. It's how policy can either make things really difficult for people or get out of the way and make things happen. And one of the things that has been really tremendously helpful for us is we have smart partners like Melanie that are not shy about giving us feedback where we got it right, where we've missed it, and to also expose ourselves and put it out there together and also understand where we need to have specific strategies. So, for example, we had a specific strategy to boost supply in rural Oregon. We needed that because we see where that hasn't happened and we need to change the conditions of that.
Right.
I would say in terms of partnerships, by and large, we have a lot of partners that understand those simple truths that we need to reckon with. We also have shared expectations around when you're coming into the state for resources. Our job is to make it reasonable and flexible and as non-burdensome as possible. But we're not also leaving our values at the door. We've been very clear and specific about that. And progress for one community is progress for all. Progress in rural community is progress for Oregon, progress for folks of color, for first-time homeowners. We're not in a feast or famine mode. This is about being at a time of and understanding that we have immense opportunity and responsibility.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there. We've run out of time for this segment. So thank you both, Andrea. Thank you, Melanie. Appreciate you both being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, my guests were Andrea Bell from Oregon Housing and Community Services and Melanie Dosher from Jackson County Access.